taped interview with Alden Dow, the Dow architectural firm of Midland. Alden Dow is the surviving son of Herbert Dow of the Midland Chemical Company. This interview was taped on the 20th of June, 1972, at Mr. Dow's headquarters at 320 Post in Midland.
I think it's very important to realize that no matter what you do, first, you must be able to think about it. You must know how to think about it. And we also must realize that individualism is everywhere. Everything is individual. Every person is individual. Every mind is individual. Every capability to do anything is individual. In other words, we have an individual thinking machine and an individual doing machine in each one of us. And when you put those two individual qualities, doing and thinking, together, you can't help but have something new, something original, creativity. Now, this, I think, to some degree, and in some area, exists in everybody. You just can't avoid it. Serious or the dangerous thing is that creativity can be constructive or can be destructive. And we've got to learn to tell the difference between constructiveness and destructiveness. In other words, we must learn quality. It's important. But what I like, my neighbor must at least tolerate. And I think this is best illustrated by this diagram that I have here in blocks. I presume the quote you referred to, reflection. I think this construction tells a great deal about how I think about things, and I believe it's the way all people think. I think it's the way you think about things, all of us. I think that schools are designed to teach us the facts and how to use those facts and where to get those facts. I think life gives you the opportunity to express your feelings with those facts. To express your feelings in a subject adds the magic touch which results in really great things. I find that fact and feeling, call it science and art, are the fundamental ingredients of anything that is really good. This combination of fact and feeling is the greatest stimulator for creativity or invention. I can't think of an idea that hasn't grown when I apply fact and feeling to it. That is, there always seems to be a new fact around the corner hiding somewhere. And anytime you find a new fact, it needs somebody to express some feeling about it. And when you allow that to happen, new things happen, new things occur. This to me is most exciting. I think this is this model. I call it the way of life model. Has really great. Some great passages that helps. I refer to it constantly, and I did this about, well, it must be 25 years old at least. I guess it's more than that. And well, it tells an awful lot. That's hard to tell in just words.
It's actually a way of life.
Yes, it is. It is. And it shows that everything is a balance. There's always a balance. There's just aesthetics on one side and morals on the other. There's individualism on one side and social rightness on the other side. And there's taste as balanced with creativeness. There's conscience balanced with ethics. And, well, I find that when newspapers and all radio announcers get into the field of morals and aesthetics, that they're pretty much lost. Well, too often they don't know what they're talking about.
Quite true.
Well, that's a quick an analysis of what I think. And as I said in the beginning, I think you must know how to think about a thing before you can do anything with it. You must know how to think constructively about a thing.
In the Dow story, it was mentioned that Herbert, your father, at one time wished to be an architect. Did this have any influence on your choice of an occupation?
Well, I suppose it did, but my father felt that, really, that while he never put it in these words, he felt that that architecture really didn't have much of a foundation, and it didn't when I started. There just weren't any reasons for it. There was no rhyme nor reason to the way a building was built. It was when I started studying architecture at Columbia, we had to learn the Greek orders. Which means Corinthian and Doric and composite and whatnot. And
buildings were not pieces of architecture if they did not reflect the Greek orders. That's hard to believe that it was such a short time ago, but this was architecture, and my father really didn't see any sense in that, and agreed with it. I went to school just at the time when all students were beginning to question the value of the Roman orders or the Greek orders.
Is this, is it reflected in, say, our federal and state capitol buildings? And
yes, yes.
The old school of thought on that?
Yes. And it's the way I looked at architecture, was that it was an outgrowth of a need, an outgrowth of a need. And it was functional. It should be functional. And this was a long time coming. I saw Frank Lloyd Wright as a functional designer, which he was.
Was there anything else that helped influence your choice of architecture over some other field?
Well, I thought there were too many things, so many things wrong with architecture, that it had more opportunities for advancement than chemistry. It, at the time, chemistry to me looked like it was through, like it was all solved. And whereas architecture looked to me like it was completely lost. That's the reason I went into it.
A place to apply your creativity, then, in other words. If you had chosen a career with Dow Chemical, it's quite possible at this time you might be president or higher up than that. Have you ever looked back and thought about this, or what your future might have been with Dow if you had gone to Dow Chemical?
Yes and no, but I'm happy with what I did. I think I've worked as hard as I knew how to at it, and I think I've learned a lot about how to think about it. And I guess that's the important thing about whatever you do.
Architecture was far more satisfying to yourself than you could possibly ever have had, I imagine, through Dow Chemical.
I don't know. I would. It all depends on how you let your creativity develop. If it had developed in the direction of chemistry, that would have been something else.
In your book Reflections, you mentioned the subject of ideation. Could you expound on what's in the book on ideation?
That's a long, involved subject, but as I was saying before and earlier, it's a matter of learning to first to think about a thing, and if you can think about a thing, idea, whatever you're working with, can develop. And if you apply, if you search for the facts involved, and then put those together with as much sensitivity as you can muster, you're going to come up with new and great ideas, no matter what line.
That would fit in with what you mentioned about if you have a great idea that it must, if you create something, it can't be offensive to a neighbor type deal. This is part of ideation and creation.
That's part of it. Definitely. I mean, the idea to be a good one has got to be a positive one. And if it's going to tear down your neighborhood, there's something wrong with it. If it's going to build the neighborhood, there's something good about it.
In your introduction to Reflections, it seemed to me that it was applicable to far more people than those just interested in architecture. And I guess I'd be curious to know if it was intended to be that way.
Yes, definitely. Because I think architecture is so broad a subject that it's related to everybody. Everybody experiences architecture in some form.
I found that reading the book, I would call it a book that fits in with Reflections, that it was very easy to read. It was, to me, I could interpret fairly well. Have you ever thought about the possibility of making a book with nothing to do with architecture that might reflect some of your ideas on,
say, ideas? Well, I'm delighted to hear you say that. Seems to me everyone that looks at the book doesn't read it.
I don't know very much about architecture, but I sure did find the reading was interesting. And going beyond the tape, my wife she felt the same way.
Glad to hear that.
That it really made sense. It fit in real nice. Have you thought about possibly making a book on your ideas of composed order, ideation, creativity?
Well, if I did, I would like to make a simpler one than that one. I think the center at the library, the exhibit in the three stages out there is going to be very interesting and along this subject.
You have a book and call it The Way of Life. Nice idea. I'd buy your first copy.
Wow. That's encouraging.
Got one sold. On your theory of composed order, which of course is mentioned in Reflections, it's all the way through the book. Why did you develop a theory of composed order? Was it as a guidelines or?
Well, first of all, I think that it's very difficult to say that anything is exactly the way it ought to be and always would remain that way. That is, things are always changing. Buildings are tumbling down, other buildings are taking their place, trees are growing up and dying. And other trees are being cut and countryside denuded we all are aware of what we see around us, what we hear around us, and we ought to, seems to me we're at the point where we should start relating everything we do with what is next door. and relating it in as pleasant a way as we know how. That is, if it's a building, it ought to pleasantly relate to its surroundings, to the land it's on and the buildings around it, and the traffic around it. And it all is like arranging a bouquet of flowers. You put a flower in the bouquet and you put it here and another one here and here and so on, and then you keep adjusting all of them until finally you're fairly well satisfied that all of them are pleasantly related to each other, and that each one is a little star in itself. If one isn't just right, you might take it out and put it over here, and you're in that bouquet. To keep that bouquet perfect, you're going to do this every day. You're going to readjust those flowers a little bit so that each one is pleasantly related to the next one. Well, that's really composed order, and it doesn't and it applies to the way we should build buildings. It applies to the way we should work together. It applies to the way you write a piece of music. It applies to everything I can think of that is right. It's making the most out of everybody and everything.
In your reflections again, in part one of the sections is called Way of Life, you mentioned that we're all given capacities. And a question I would have on that is, you mentioned physical, moral, and mental capacities. And why is a moral capacity included in this? Why do you include moral capacity that we're given?
Well, moral capacity, physical capacity. Well, our moral capacity is our relationship with people. Our physical capacity is our relationship with what we are doing. I don't see how you can really be good and not have the moral side of it. I guess I don't understand your question.
I might have been reading into it too deep as to a physical capacity that you can only, say, lift so much. Mental capacity, you can only be so smart. But a moral capacity, I guess maybe I was into it too deep as to...
Well, physical is what you can do physically. Mentally is what you can think about it. Morally is how you relate all of that to your surroundings, to your neighbor, to your family.
It's actually a combination of both.
Yes.
When you design a building, Saginaw Valley College, for instance, the Wicks Hall, I believe, what do you strive for? How do you get an idea as to what kind of building you're going to design? Is it something that's predetermined?
No, not at all. We never know what our building is going to be. When we first start talking about it, we if it's a if it's located in a certain area, certain conditions might tell us that it's going to be a very compact building, or it's going to be a spread out building. That is, we might know that before we did anything, just because of the surroundings, just because of the site. There are all kinds of conditions that might tell us that. But no, we don't know what we're going to do. I never know what a building is going to look like until we really start putting all of the requirements down on paper, and then start to relate those to each other. Now, that first relationship is purely physical. That is, we say, if it's a house, well, we've got to find a place to put the car. And that's one of the first questions that comes up in the house, because the car is the clumsiest thing to handle. You can't move a car around anywhere. You've got to decide on where you can put the garage and get into it easily and out of it onto the street again. Now that's the first problem, and that's a physical one. And then then it's a matter of how do we get into this house? Where would I, and what would I like to enter? That is, what do I see when I enter the house? Do I want to be able to look into the living room and see the whole family there, or do I want to just have it so that you can't see into the house? When I open the door, you just it's still a private little space that doesn't tell you that the family's all here and so on. So we would keep making refinements on those physical requirements until they become really they become more and more our feelings. That is, we might want to have a window here that looks out onto the garden behind or in front. I guess that's, where am I? We're
talking about kind of how do you get into the ideas of how do you, you know, make the design, what's actually the design. I guess, and it's always interesting. I guess I can understand the physical requirement part of it, but it's always the design that makes the building unique that is the striking. I guess that's what makes the architect.
That's what makes the architecture, yes. In the beginning, this is almost, when I speak of the function of the building, that's almost it's purely the function of the building. It's almost the mechanics of the building. It's the building from the point of view of the is it the right tool? That is, does the kitchen function right? Does the bathroom function right? Does the seating in the living room function right? And then you, in the beginning, color can even be functional. But finally, you get into feelings that are very personal feelings that govern that shape, and that might include some of the, well, it always includes some of the clients too.